Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The fallout continues for the Obama administration regarding what the president and top advisors did and didn't know following the attack last September in Benghazi, Libya, that took the lives of four Americans, including U.S. Ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens. GOP Representative Daryl Issa of California is now asking former Ambassador Thomas Pickering also to answer questions from committee staff before a hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. As one potential scandal continues, another has just begun this week with news that the Department of Justice obtained the phone records of several staff members at the Associated Press, including several reporters and an editor, without first consulting the news agency. The government obtained the records from April and May of 2012 for more than 20 separate telephone lines assigned to the AP and its journalists, including main offices. AP's top executive called the action a massive and unprecedented intrusion into how news organizations do their work. And, of course, there's the latest in Albany. There's always something in Albany. Today, it's the release of a report conducted by the state's Joint Committee on Public Ethics and the Staten Island District Attorney on State Assemblyman Vito Lopez for alleged sexual harassment. The report found the lawmaker's conduct was, quote, alarming, but not criminal. So, okay. Basically, where we're going with this show at 1-800-348-2551. All this is going on in New York, in Washington, all over the place. So what I want to know from you today is, has all this shaken your faith in government? Big government, small government, whatever government. Has it shaken your faith in government? Did you ever have any faith? Was there any left to lose? Let's talk about trust in government. Did we ever have it? Can we get it back? What do we do to get it back? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. You go to WAMC.org/VoxPop, and you can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. All of those things work, and we have a crack staff of social media people who will come running in here breathlessly with all the important stuff from the social media. It's very exciting. Or you could just call 1-800-348-2551. Go to the phones. Michael in Altamont. Michael, you're on.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Hey, nice to have you here.
You asked a great question. Do the latest set of scandals, you know, change my faith in state and federal government? And I would have to say absolutely not. I had no faith to begin with. This just reinforces that complete and utter lack of faith.
I think you're not alone. I think there are a lot of people who are just like you. But is there any way in your mind that we could restore some trust in the people we elect?
Well, I think we would have to institute serious ethics regulations, not the PAP that Cuomo is passing off as ethics regulation. I think we would have to institute campaign finance reform. We would have to overturn, the decision that allows all the corporate money to, essentially buy elections. And I think that we would have to institute term limits because public service is just that. It's public service. It's not a career. And the Congress shouldn't be a club for rich men. You know, it needs to be, we need to have representative government represented by actual citizens, not wealthy people, not career politicians.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know if any of the things that you mentioned would have staved off what's going on with the big three things in Washington right now with Benghazi, the AP, and the IRS. But, go ahead.
Well, the politicization of the Benghazi issue is ridiculous. I mean, many more people died under the Bush administration and nobody said boo. This is just the Republicans going after Obama in any way, shape, or form that they can, and they're simply politicizing what was a very unfortunate and very sad incident.
I think there's definitely something to that. And as a matter of fact, on the roundtable this morning, Rosemary and Alan discuss that at great length. Hey, Michael, thanks a lot. We're going to move it along here. Tommy in Neversink. Hi, Tommy, you're on.
Hello. My faith in government has not been shaken. because I had very little to begin with. Mm. But it has nothing to do with the recent events. You know, government, there's too much corporate influence and money influencing what government does. That's the problem. And I think what's happening, especially with this IRS thing, you got John Boehner up there already saying he wants someone to go to jail.
Yeah,
they don't even know what happened yet.
Exactly.
It's incredibly provocative language, you know. Like, why don't you let the investigation run its course?
Yeah, well, of course, who does the investigation is also important in this
right.
case, you know. So, but I agree that there's going to be much more to be learned there, and perhaps sending someone to jail is it's a little premature. Hey, Tommy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Plipton. Where are you in Vermont? I can't
read. Plipton, Vermont.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're on.
So, you know, the other two guys pretty much are saying the same thing I wanted to say. I did have faith in the government, and I was proud of our government. Basically, during the Clinton administration, things just felt right. Things felt easier. Paying taxes seemed like making your contribution. And today, it just seems like our money's just being thrown away in Washington with a bunch of these silly investigations into things that. Like the Benghazi thing, I mean, I just think the whole thing was blown out of proportion. And one, you know, maybe a sentence taken the wrong way by the other side of the aisle, and then that can turn into millions and millions of dollars worth of an investigation. Simply because at the time it happened, they just say things because they're trying to let the public know kind of what's going on. And, you know, at that time you can't hold people accountable for every word that comes out of their mouth. I mean, it, and just like this thing, you know, I'm with the IRS, you know, it's so early to really know what's going on. And now there'll be a fight over who's going to investigate it. And, you know, there'll just be money spent after money spent just to get to the investigation. And then when the investigation is done, it'll be the other side will be opposing the findings of the investigation anyway. It just seems like a huge waste of our time and our money in Washington right now. And I don't know where else, you know, these people work for us. And if, you know, and they say publicly they're going to do everything they can to make sure nothing happens. It just seems, if you went and got a job and said, my goal here is going to be to make sure we're as, you know, that the other guys can't get anything done. It's just so ridiculous.
But you would still be in favor of an investigation. I mean, if the allegations of the IRS are true, it's a little frightening, don't you think?
I think so, absolutely. I think, and that's again a waste of our money paying the IRS to, you know, harass legitimate nonprofit organizations who have a right to be nonprofit organizations. And I think an investigation should happen, but I think we need to go about it responsibly and be fiscally responsible too, because we don't have money to do a lot of infighting. I think we need to put our money into getting this country back to the top where it once was. And I just don't feel, I mean, we're down in number 25 and, you know, airports and down near there in our hospitals. And we used to be number one in almost everything. And for some reason, that doesn't seem to matter in Washington. You know, it's more about setting Hillary Clinton up for her next election already. I can't believe we're even talking about that now.
Yeah. The election cycle gets bigger and bigger, just like the news cycle. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Let's go to Mark and Saugerties. Mark, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Like your call screener there probably tried to scribble down. I lost my faith in the government back in the 80s as a teen when I discovered the hardcore punk rock group out of, San Francisco, the Dead Kennedys.
Dead Kennedys, sure.
Oh, God, I love Jell-O.
Now she wrote down Ted Kennedy, our call screener.
You're talking about the Dead Kennedys,
sure. Jell-O Biafra, sure.
Jell-O Biafra and all of them. Because while he's hyperbolic and everything to the extreme in his lyrics, at the same time, everything he was talking and complaining about back then just seems to happen again and again and again every decade. The scandals, they're different actors, but the same story over and over again. And it's just, the repetition has just got me bored and exasperated with it all. I really wonder if it's worth trying to fix.
I got to get out my vinyl now. And, you know, I've got a lot of that from way back in the day myself.
My two favorite albums of theirs, and if you really want to hear, actually three favorite albums, if anybody out there is curious, check out In God We Trust Incorporated.
Yeah, that's great.
Plastic Surgery Disasters, and Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death.
Well, you know, it's not often we get to talk about that, the punk scene from the West Coast on this program, but Mark, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Ray. Have a good day.
Yeah, have a good one. Let's take a break here, Zach. Why don't you rack up some Dead Kennedy? Oh, it's not. It's the Allman Brothers. That'll work, too. All right, 1-800-348-2551. More on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Milton, located at Buttermilk Falls Inn, 4 miles south of the Mid-Hudson Bridge. Dinner Wednesday through Sunday, lunch Fridays and Saturday, and Sunday brunch, henrysatbuttermilk.com. Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate, currancompliance.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, featuring the Divine Wine Store with wines from all over the world with pairings, monthly tastings, and events, healthylivingmarket.com. In Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com.
So, you know, Alan told me this morning during the roundtable, he broke the news to me that it's 2.5 weeks from now and the fun drive begins. 2.5 weeks. So what we've been doing is we have opened up the lockbox. We haven't opened it, but it's open to you. It's on our website, WAMC.org, and we encourage you to make your pledge there now. What we do is we keep it all in there. First day of the drive, we put it in the drive, and, well, last time we did this during the the spring drive, March, we shaved a day or two or maybe a little more than that off the drive. So if you want to make your pledge now, it all counts on day one. It's our lockbox, WAMC.org. Just look at the lockbox and make your secure online pledge. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-348-2551. David, is it David?
No, it's Dowd, D-A-U-D.
Dowd, how are you? You're on the highway.
Very good, how are you?
Very good, you're on the air.
Okay, I think we should not look at things at the micro level, we should look at macro levels. I came to this country in 1974 when Watergate was at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
So in 40 years, it keeps happening. You know, there was Iran-Contra, now this is IRS. What we have to remember is this is the same Congress and Senate who's bitching about the AP records, and they are the one who passed the Patriot Act, and they lost their liberties right there.
Right.
They have no reason to complain.
You make a point.
You cannot pick and choose. And there are, in my opinion, there are two entities in this society who can make an impact on the society. One is the school teachers, and one is the clergy people. If school teachers are screwed up, and if the clergy is screwed up, your nation is screwed up.
And do you think that those two entities...
Look at what happened in Atlanta, and look at all these evangelical people having prostitution and this and that and fraud. This is society, man, we are living in. We have to cope with it.
Okay. And so do you think that the teachers and the college professors need fixing, Dowd?
Yeah, it's tight. The fabric is getting bad. We have to put the fabric right.
Hmm. Well, hey, thanks a lot, and drive safely. You're on the way to Rochester, yes?
Yep.
All right, drive safely, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Okay, yep.
Bye. Let's go to Jim in Monroe, New York. Jim, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Well, like what the last caller was saying, I agree with the education, but they're educating everybody on emphasis of so much. We should be taught to realize every action we make, we create other actions, and we're responsible for our own. And as far as the government goes, I agree with all the corruption that you can get fed up all you want, but we still have the best functioning government in the world with all this stuff going on. And as far as I can see, that's how a democracy works. It could be idealistic, but let's face it, nothing idealistic works.
Well, I mean, I think that when they started, the Founding Fathers were fairly, they were both pragmatic and idealistic, and I think they had a fair amount of distrust of government when they started the government, which is a little ironic.
Well, that's why we have the government, is because of the distrust and what you were saying, and everything. I was reading a lot of our laws are based on, they took from the Indians that were already here. The central tribe on the East Coast, I forgot the name of it, but they had councils where they had meetings and stuff, and a lot of our laws is actually based on what they had.
Mm. So your opinion then is, you know, let's not make too much of this. Things are, you know, the details perhaps are a little bit disquieting, but things are floating along then?
Yeah, well, more or less. I don't agree with all of this. Don't get me wrong. People who are in office, especially very wealthy people who are highly educated, should not go to the golf course when they go to jail, and should not be saying, oh, well, they embarrassed so much and they've given up so much, they should be left off. On the contrary, I really do think that they should be punished much more than somebody who litters. But basically what you said, I agree with. We can't let it go, but what we have is special, and it's working to a certain extent. And what happens is when we feel it in our pocket, then we have a lot more complaints. Or when we go and we can't get insurance, like me, I can't get insurance right now. I don't have it. I can't get it. I have some very bad problems that I can't take care of. But I'm not going to stew around and blame the people on welfare or blame the rich people or anything else. I'll get through it one way or the other. And that's what America's about.
That's great. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Larry in Poughkeepsie. Larry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's very nice to hear that you're into the dead Kennedys. I actually never would have guessed that.
Nor would I. How about that?
I think when it comes to faith in government, number one, the government isn't a monolithic entity. If you have a problem on a local level and you go to your local town council, they might be very helpful and solve the problem very quickly. That's still government, and you know, your faith in the local or even national, it'll depend on what your issue is and who's helping you or not helping you. But for the larger issues that you bring up, and they're very terrifying issues, this AP wiretapping, essentially, is absolutely terrifying. Chris Hedges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, was on his program this morning, and he said that it's had not just this, but all of the attempts by the Obama administration to crush whistleblowers has had a chilling effect on journalists who are trying to write important stories about what our government is doing and what we have a right to know, because it's our government. But those stories rely on whistleblowers, on leaks, on people with inside information. That's always been the case. And now no one is willing to talk to journalists, according to Mr. Hedges, because everyone's terrified of going to prison. And I think that it's an incredibly dangerous state of affairs. And the answer is a complicated answer, but the heart of it's very simple. We need to return to the rule of law. But especially over the last 15 years, things have been happening that are just absolutely blatant, just complete disregard of the rule of law, of the principles upon which our country is founded. And it's always just by officials just said, oh, it's needed for national security. But that's not a good enough answer, and it's absolutely not a sufficient enough reason to kill people without to assassinate people, to kill people without trial, to wiretap citizens to wiretap journalists to...
I get your point. But, you know,
I mean, it's, yes.
The one thing I said this morning to Alan and Rosemary on the roundtable, the one of these three big items in Washington, the one that if I was president, I'd be most fearful of is the AP one. Because I'll tell you what, there will be many, many, many in the press who will be all over this, and there will be no relenting. There's nothing like an irritated press about something that affects them. And I got to tell you, that one will not go away. The IRS one might go away. Benghazi, who knows if that has legs. I would be willing to bet the AP story, heads will roll. Heads will roll over that.
But whose heads and who's going to make them roll? I mean, the journal, you know,
someone will take the fall. It won't, you know, it'll be someone, I don't know where, whether high level or low level, someone will take the fall for that.
I think...
That's only a guess.
Well, I think you might... I hope you're right. I really think until a president of the United States, whether current or former, goes to prison, until there's that kind of level of accountability, no significant and long-lasting... Because if the president of the United States can go to prison,
well,
and anyone in the world can go to prison, then the bankers who are blatant criminals can go to prison when none of them have.
Well, Larry, I'm going to let you go, but I would say that I don't think we go to the level that the president needs to go to prison over any of these things.
I didn't say the current one.
Okay.
I just said... I just meant... I think the concept...
Yeah. Well,
might be justified by actions that have happened, and B, might be a large enough concept to actually bring us back to the idea that the rule of law means that everyone, absolutely everyone, is subject to the law. No one is above the law.
All right, Larry,
in a democracy.
I got to let you go, but you made good points. Let's go to, by the way, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, 1-800-348-2551. Dave in Wineskill. Dave, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
Back to your original question about faith in government.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea to have faith in government. I think, like you said a little earlier, I think the people who set this thing up over 200 years ago, they had a distrust and they set up a lot of checks and balances. And I think instead of having faith, it's better to just have a good view of what's going on and use logic in figuring out what's right, what's wrong. I mean, it's never going to be perfect. You got human beings doing this.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It's the old Cold War thing. Trust but verify, yes?
Yeah. And I used to work for OSHA. I'm retired now. And I used to be involved in targeting certain kinds of industries and stuff for going into. And after the Barlow case that happened in the 70s, where we were required to get warrants if somebody wanted us to, we had to have really good reason to go into a site,
yeah,
and because they could take us, and we'd have to get go to a court and get approval for going in, and we used to spend a lot of time trying to figure out the right way to target, and and we had to put that through our own lawyers, and they used to give us more of a hard time than a lot of times anybody, because they wanted us doing it right. A lot of times, did we make mistakes? Yeah, and that's one thing I think people, it'd be important for people to realize that. People out there in the government, you know what? They're just regular people. Most of them, they're just trying to do their job. Do they make mistakes? Yes. And just let you know, I voted for Obama. I'm a little left to center, but I kind of feel like getting back to this IRS thing.
Yeah.
As far as targeting goes, those people, if they didn't realize that they were targeting a little bit too politically, I don't know. That's a little bit too far-fetched.
Well, of course. The scary thing about that is, you know, maybe they target someone that a group that you think, okay, well, they deserve targeting. But what happens with the next guy when you're targeted? That's the scary part about that. Now, I just saw something on the crawl on CNN. I have it on here without the sound. And I believe they were reporting that according to some source, two rogue agents at the IRS were behind that. So someone will be falling on the sword very soon, I think.
Yeah, I think it's some local. I think it was some local people who were just getting a little bit overzealous in a way. But you know, people. But that's why we got to keep our eye on them, and we got to stay stay logical about this stuff and not have faith.
Dave, thanks a lot. That's a great call. Let's go to our friend. Oh, it's Jill in Waterford. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I'm going to be really, really controversial.
Oh,
here.
Good. Go ahead.
To be perfectly honest with you, even though it is probably wrong, I do not blame the IRS one bit for scrutinizing the right.
Okay.
A little bit more than everybody else, because you've already got folks like Grover Norquist and the Koch brothers and some of these others that have put up non-for-profit organizations that are so political, your hair will curl. And
well, there are those on the left as well. I mean, you know.
There probably are. I personally don't know of any, but I know about Grover Norquist, and I don't trust the Tea Party.
Well, let me ask you this, Jill. Let me ask you this. And
keep it on the up and up.
You are certainly entitled to that, and I think you're not alone. However, let me just pose the same thing I posed to the last guy. You know, supposing the next president comes in and he is very conservative, and suddenly the IRS, oh my gosh, news comes out that they're targeting all these left-wing nonprofits. Then what does Jill in Waterford say?
Jill in Waterford would get scared.
But, I mean, don't you think, you know, either
yeah,
way, it's not a good thing?
It's, like I said, I know it's wrong to, you know, be partisan like that. But, I mean, like I said, there is documentation. Unfortunately, since I'm not in front of an internet, I can't do the research to find out right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been documentation that some of these organizations have tried to pass themselves off as being social welfare, educational, et cetera, and they turn around and they are very, very, very political.
I'm sure that is the case. But, and again, we don't know what really happened. It's so early and we don't have many of the facts. We probably have 2% of the facts of this whole thing.
And but, I don't think it's criminal. I don't think it rises to going to jail.
Well,
maybe getting fired. Maybe.
Well, so,
but going to jail, come on.
I mean, you could bet, Jill, someone's going to get fired. I mean, that I think that would be the minimum here. But if it's all true, maybe it's not true. We'll find out. But, Jill, thank you for taking your stand. You're a tough lady. I appreciate it.
Thank you, dear. Talk to you soon.
Have a good one. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Jerry in New Windsor is on. Jerry.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I think it's time to drain the swamp, as somebody said. I think there's
that was Pelosi, wasn't it?
Yes, I think there's a lot of skull.
I beg your pardon? We lost you? Oh, you waited on hold all that time and we lost you? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, good. All right.
I think there's a lot of skullduggery going on, and you know, the whole idea of faith in government, yeah, I have faith in government. I think things will work themselves out. And they did during, like, Nixon. I mean, you know, it took a long while, but he was impeached. And I think Obama's stands a good chance of getting impeached, and I hope he does.
Really? You do?
Yes,
For which transgression, my friend?
Benghazi, I think, is bad. I think it's terrible.
Well, what exactly? I mean, I know that there are those who would say, and perhaps rightly so, that they sat on this information because it was an election coming up. But I mean, does it rise to that level, impeachment level?
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
Romney possibly could have won this election, but Candy Crowley in the second debate shut him off, and Obama had referred to acts of terrorism, but he was speaking very generically. He was not referring specifically to Benghazi. Later on, he said he was. I think Obama's a master of ambiguity. That is, he always builds an escape hatch for himself, and he's very adroit at using it. And also, and I just want to skip very quickly to faith in our own state government. I'm very distressed that Sheldon Silver, the assemblyman, is getting a pass when he took $110,000 of taxpayer money and shuffled it over to staffers who had been sexually harassed by Vito Lopez.
Vito Lopez, and the report came out today, and I must say that that angle has been, I mean, listen, Sheldon Silver has enemies too, and they investigated that this way and that, and he came through it. And so I see your point. But
it's easy to investigate things when you appoint the investigators, such as Hillary Clinton just recently did with Admiral Pickering and Mullen. You know, a lot is going to come out about this Benghazi thing because we're not letting go of it, and it's going to be pursued. And right now, the prevarication is mounting.
Okay, well, I see your point, but I think of the three big ones, the IRS, the AP, and Benghazi, I think Benghazi is the one with the least chance of going forward just for political reasons and for the fact that, I mean, aside from perhaps not calling it terrorism, what's the crime? Yes, maybe they made mistakes in defending that particular outpost. But
the big crime is lying to the American public, which Obama is steeped in, and Hillary Clinton missed do nothing in as a senator in New York. I think she really terrible. She dedicated a few buildings. She was no Moynihan, that's for sure.
Well, hey Jerry, I'm not cutting you off for political reasons, but and I love having the other side, but we got a break here. It's 2:40, so let you go. And you know, for those who would say this is a hard left-wing radio station, I hope you just heard Jerry from New Windsor. That's Exhibit A, my friend. It's across the board on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. More interesting calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, offering bachelor's and master's degrees in business, education, and nursing. Transfer admissions event for college-age students and adults with college credits, May 22nd, msmc.edu. Pirates Lakeside Grill at Nassau Lake, a drive-in restaurant featuring local grass-fed beef burgers, smokehouse hot dogs, fish fry, and more, open Thursday through Sunday, piratelakesidegrill.com. Subsidium Technologies, offering custom cloud connectivity, communications, and collaboration network services to clients globally, subsidiumtech.com. And Albany Pro Musica, presenting Pops Goes the Chorus, a cabaret-style concert with show tunes and popular songs June 7th and 8th at 7:30 at the Shaker Meeting House, albanypromusica.org.
Soothing music. That's nice. It's just relaxing me again. And, oh, speaking of relaxing, the very relaxed, sort of Dean Martin-esque Tom Job is here with the stuff from the social media. Hi, Tom.
Dean Martin-esque. Hello, yeah. Ray. How are you today?
I'm okay.
All right. So we have some comments from Facebook, from email, and on WAMC.org. So we'll start there.
Right.
Anonymous on WAMC.org/VoxPop says, I've got no problem with government. I distrust the politicians on top of this pyramid, and I distrust the money that's being thrown at these politicians.
Well said.
Pamela checks in on Facebook. As one who came of age in the Watergate era, all of the illusions about government they issued in school got wiped out downhill ever since.
Well said. Next.
Ronald on Facebook says, I'm old enough to remember Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, and Watergate. I still have more faith in government than, say, Enron or Chase. However, a backhanded comment, I know. What is going on in the Obama administration is just more of the same old. National security state continues to expand. The big bureaucracy state, with all its inconsistencies and contradictions, continues to do its thing thanks to Congress, the Supreme Court, and the executive branch. Republicans keep screaming, holy hell, when Democrats do it. Democrats keep screaming high heavens when Republicans do it. Corporations continue to manipulate the legislative and judicial system for their own benefit and their own ends. All the while, most Americans are just happy to get their fix with the Kardashians, Lindsay Lohan, and Brangelina.
Wow.
Yes.
That was well written.
Scott, via email, voxpop@wamc.org, says, I would like to know more about the IRS people. What is their party affiliation? Moderate Republicans don't like the Tea Party, too. Are these people long-term employees or new hires or appointees? Some of that information would help understand their motivations.
I think we will find that out. And I think that when the sacrificial lambs get fired, we'll find out all about that.
Oh, boy. All the secrets will come out.
So much to learn. Is that all you have?
That is all I have for now, sir.
Thomas Job, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll see you. 1-800-348-2551. Back to the phones we go. It's Judith in Saugerties. Hi, Judith. Oh, well, let's press the button, Ray. This is the button over here, sir. Hello, Judith. Are you there?
I am here.
You're on.
Okay. So, first of all, I think it's important to distinguish between having faith in government in general and having faith in our government as it currently is.
Okay.
It's really hard to have faith in a government that is about to have its 37th vote on repealing the Obamacare. That's the government that we currently have in the House, mm-hmm. for example, and we all know what's going on in the Senate. However, government is there to solve big problems, and government has done an enormous amount. I mean, people are not, I think people don't think of government when they think of Social Security and Medicare and roads and bridges and hospitals and schools. All of that is government. How are we going to solve climate change? It's government. It's not just individuals. So I think that it's really important to make that distinction. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two is on the IRS scandal. The Tea Party has the word party in its title. Party is generally political. And as we know, in fact, the Tea Party is political. And I'm really with Jill on this. Americans for Prosperity has a not-for-profit status. The Tea Party has a not-for-profit status. We pay taxes for every single organization that has a not-for-profit tax exemption. So what they are not paying, we are paying as taxpayers. And, you know, I don't want to pay taxes for people who put bold-faced political ads on the media. And they do. There's no question that they do. Are you still there, by the way?
Oh, I am still there. I'm giving you your due. But I'll ask you the same question that I asked Jill, and that is, in a different administration, and if we look the other way with the IRS and suddenly they're looking at all the liberal groups, then what does Judith say?
I think that I truly object to that question. And
why?
The reason I object, I'm about to say, and the reason I object to that question is pretty consistently there is no equivalency between the way that the left uses and violates the law and the way that the right does.
Okay.
So, for example, in this case, you know, you said something to her about, well, there are groups on the left. First of all, the Democratic Party is not on the left. There are no groups on the left.
Well, the IRS is not looking at the Democratic Party.
Right. But so they are looking at, when you say the left, I think that people are using the Democratic Party as the left. But let's even do that. Let's say there's groups on the right. I mean, the right really is right. They really are right-wing. They are radical right. And we know that. The groups on the quote-unquote left are not anywhere off the scale that the groups on the right are. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two is that the left violation of laws and the left use of such things as calling themselves social welfare...
Mm-hmm.
Americans for Prosperity, Karl Rove's group, is designated as a social welfare group, and the group that the Koch brothers donates to funds at billions of dollars. That group is tax exempt. The Tea Party groups are tax exempt.
Okay.
You know, this is not an equivalency. It's one of my real beefs about the American media that they're always saying, you know, such and such on the left and such on the right.
Okay.
And there was just a book by Norm Ornstein and another author about, you know, there is no equivalency.
Okay.
This is a Republican issue.
All right. Well, fair enough. But I still say, and you can call it left, you can call it right, when they come for you, then you might say that's not the right thing to do. In other words, profiling groups based on what you think they could be about rather than just vetting everybody at an equal rate. But anyway, Judith, thanks a lot.
Excuse, can I just respond to that?
Very quickly.
Okay, they weren't necessarily profiling. They were looking at groups that had the word party in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good, I don't want to be paying for political groups, and I don't think most Americans do either.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Judith. Thanks. Let's go to Joseph in New Paltz. Joseph.
Hi, how's it going today?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to mention one of the fellows who was driving to Rochester was talking about education. And I think that the left, and I agree with Judith ahead of us, that the Democrats are not the left.
Well, I didn't say they were. Now, be honest, that's not what I was talking about at all. But go ahead.
I know, I agree. I was just agreeing with her on that. But I think that the left has had the right attitude for a long time, especially the new left, that education is the key to changing the government. But what part of education is really the important part of changing this? And I think the big problem, and being I graduated a degree in history and I'm seeing education now, is just a complete lack of education about our civil liberties and our civil duty to participate in government.
Yeah.
And what's scary now is a lot of people my age, I'm 24 years old and younger, if you ask them what the Electoral College is, they'll tell you it's some university somewhere. That's a problem.
Yeah, I got my degree there, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So unless, how can democracy work if the people who are supposed to be participating don't work? Now, I don't think that's a decision by the government, but these austerity policies, which are cutting our education, are definitely helped people consolidate power, because as you take education away and you say we need to stick in the STEM fields, which is important for us to be competitive, you're also taking away importance. If you just have a bunch of people coming out of the STEM fields, you have a bunch of calculators that don't know how to question authority. And that's what I'm afraid of, is that we're going to have our schools pushing STEM, 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 and we're going to have a bunch of people who don't know how democracy works. So I think that the first step is education, and it's teaching us how to participate.
You make a powerful point on a large scale. Heal thyself. In other words, if everybody takes care of centering themselves and getting themselves in a good spot ethically and philosophically, a lot of problems go away. It may take a little time. Yeah, very nice. Joseph, thanks a lot. Let's go to Bill in Steventown. Bill, you're on Vox Pop. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good.
I think both sides, I think we've gone to the extreme on both ends. And I think the only way you're really going to come back from it is you gotta institute term limits, same as the president has. The big gun issue. You got Dianne Feinstein. She was the one back in the 80s looking for the gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our government should be a career. It should be, like the last guy said, we should educate, we should participate. But in order for it to stay up with the times, we have to rejuvenate, and we have to keep changing the people. That would also get a lot of the money, in my feeling. It would get a lot of the money out of the system because, well, I can't dump a bunch of money on you because you're going to be out in another year or 2 years or whatever the term. But I think the way that we have entrenched politicians, it just leads to the type of things that we're going through in the government right now.
You know, we've had that conversation quite often recently in the newsroom, on the air, and whatever, and I'm not sure I follow the logic that term limits would limit corruption. To me, if I'm a corrupt person and I get elected and I know, gosh, I only have 12 years, I better grab what I can right now, then to me that just pushes the timetable up.
Well, again, I think that you'd end up not having the extremist. Or even if you have the extremists, they have a limited amount of time. And then it gives the people, you're almost forced to participate just because you can't stay status quo. A lot of the government runs the way it is because if we're not active, if we don't get out and vote, most incumbent people stay in office.
Hmm.
Whereas now, it doesn't matter. In 12 years, maybe you will grab what you can, but in 12 years, you're done grabbing. Now somebody else is going to get in there, and that might be the guy that the things that you weren't in there doing, you know?
Yeah, good point. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Dick in Longmeadow, Mass. You're on.
Yes, the reason I'm calling is when you take a look at government, you can take a look at unions, too. I think we all equate, you know, corporations with buying things out and controlling things, but some of the unions in the states have done a terrible job. And the one thing we all should look at in Connecticut and Massachusetts and in New York is a thing called the unfunded pension liability, and that comes out every year. Mm. And in Massachusetts, it's over $250 million that our lovely governor has to go out and borrow every year to fund the pensions.
But how do you fix that? I mean,
how do you fix it? You do buybacks the way they fixed it in a lot of places. They fixed it in Compton, California, where the firemen, retired firemen, were getting $3,000 a week, $151,000 a year. Compton filed for bankruptcy, and the judge upheld the bankruptcy petition, and bankruptcy is petitions are the one thing that null and voids union contracts. Now, I think they all ought to get decent pensions. Don't misunderstand me. But $3,000 a week for a retired fireman and the health insurance is something else. But see, our politicians get in bed with these union people. And that's why my faith in government is what it is. You function every day and you watch what they do every day.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I certainly see your point, and I think you make a great deal of sense. However, you know, say I'm a Johnny State worker, and I put my 30 years in, I signed on, and I knew what I was getting, then why would it be fair? And I'm not saying that the pension deals are all fair, but if I signed on, I did my time, I got my pension, then why is it fair to take that away? I mean, moving forward, I think you make great points, but as far as cutting the pensions that people have agreed to and they work their lives for, that's a slippery slope, don't you think?
Well, I don't think it's a slippery slope if we all take it as a percentage. If you're a fellow getting so much, $3,000 a week retired as a fireman, I'm just using them because those were the people that were in question in the Wall Street Journal in that particular town in California. I'm saying that's a little much. To get, we're not going to take you from 3,000 and bring you down to $500 a month. Yeah. But 3,000 is ludicrous. I think you'll agree.
Yeah. I mean, if I was making 3,000,
how would you like to be Elizabeth Warren, who had taught one course at Harvard, and she got $400,000 for that one course in Harvard while she was running for election here?
Well, it was Harvard after all. Dick, thanks a lot. Let's go to Daniel in Agawam. Daniel, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Well, I guess got a comment on your last caller, because it just seems ridiculous to me to quote some study from California. $3,000 a week seems outrageous to me. But my father was a firefighter in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he makes less than $2,500 for the month.
Yeah.
As a retired firefighter. So that the equivalent is just kind of doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, I just wanted to speak to the three quote-unquote scandals that are going on right now. And we have Benghazi, which I still am kind of confused about what exactly is the scandal. I mean, what happened that's a scandal? I know that the attack was misrepresented. And I understand that.
I'm with you. I'm having a tough time. Someone said, you know, these should be impeached, and frankly, yes, they may have misrepresented it for political reasons. Is that a crime?
I don't think so. I don't see the connection between the political reasons. I see how it could seem that way, but I don't see the political reason behind it. I don't see that there was a connection between what the intelligence was and what they said on the Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning programs. It just doesn't seem to connect to me. I don't see what it is. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but we don't have the information yet to say that. And then we have the IRS.
Right.
We don't have any connection between the administration, which is what they keep saying, the administration. No, the administration didn't have anything to do with that. Just like in 2007, where Democratic interests were involved in the IRS. Like, we didn't hear much about that. And was it from the top down or was it from the bottom up?
That's the question.
And I think in this case, it's pointing towards the bottom up. I think in Cincinnati, it was the bottom up. I think there's somebody, and heads should roll. They should.
And they will. And someone will fall on the sword. Daniel, we're just about out of time, but quickly.
All right, well, I'll say the last thing on the AP.
Yeah.
Again, I'll just say that I don't see how it's political when it basically there's a criminal investigation here. Somebody did something wrong in the AP, and somebody got information where they shouldn't have got it, and they're investigating it.
Yes, but there are sort of established protocols for how that's done, and I'm afraid we're out of time, Daniel, but we'll talk more about this on the roundtable and on Vox Pop as well. But thanks to everybody for calling in. We are fresh out of time. Great job, everybody. Thanks for the great calls. Support comes from the Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses at morehonestweight.coop. Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors, and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890. 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry, and gifts. JoyellesJewelers.com. And Saratoga Health and Wellness, providing a 12-week weight loss program run by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. SaratogaHealthandWellness.com. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who handled the controls. Colleen O'Connell answered your calls. Tom Job was our social media dude today. Patrick Donjes, our producer. Thanks again for calling in. You did a great job, everybody. I appreciate the wide range of viewpoints we had today. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned now for a news update.